Well, good morning. We're so thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers. We gave them the option. We're like, I don't know, it's kind of a sketchy day. I don't know if you want to come in or not. And they're like, we're coming in. We don't care. We're going to be there no matter what. And I'll tell you what, our Kids Zone volunteers are an elite group. And so we're so thankful for them and their just willingness to serve the Lord no matter what the weather is like. There's a picture of gloves on the screen behind me, and in your bulletin, if you're here, there is this handout. If you are worshiping online, Robin included this handout in her weekly email, and it basically explains that a parent volunteer at Pine Trails, so where the elementary school where we do Kids Hope, is there. First cold day a week or two ago. Kids are coming to the office, they need stuff. The office didn't have enough warm clothes to get out at that point. So the parent comes to us and says, we have to do something about this. You know, Pine Trails is our school. It's our church's school that we've kind of adopted through Kids Hope. And so our office got on the phone with their office, and they said, we have a source for coats and boots and snow pants and stuff like that. But what we really need is gloves. These kids come in and they don't have gloves and their hands are freezing and we got to send them outside for recess. And if you could help us with gloves, it would be awesome. So our Kids Hope program pitched in $250. Some of that was money that came in from Carol Pinkley's memorial. And our missions committee pitched in $250. And so we're going to buy them 90 pairs of insulated gloves. Yeah, so I just tell you that as we have reporting. But we have those totes out so that if you want to help supply Pine Trails with more insulated gloves when you're out shopping this week, we're going to have those out for one more week, and then on Monday the 8th, we're going to bring them to Pine Trails and drop them off. And so make sure you get the insulated gloves, though, not like the really tiny, thin cotton ones or whatever the stretchy ones are, because once they get wet, they're useless. I think it'd be so awesome if we had so many gloves brought in for Pine Trails. They're like, we don't know what to do with all these gloves from this crazy church, so they bring them to West Ward and Dawson as well. And we just supply a bunch of the elementary schools here in Allegan with gloves. So that's what that is. You want to participate in that? That's great. If you don't, that's okay too. This morning, we're talking about Christmas promises, and we're looking at Hannah's story from 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to talk about what you could bring to God this Christmas season. So Hannah's in a place where if you think of her relationship with God, like God is facing her, she's in a place where she is in a lot of pain, deeply frustrated, fearful, angry, and if she doesn't bring it to God, she'd end up turning away from God in her pain and her frustration and her disappointment and kind of moving further and further away from God. She's in kind of a desperate spot. And I wonder where this meets you. So for Hannah, she's in this spot where she could turn to God and move towards him, or she could turn away from God and keep moving away from him because she really, really wants a baby, and the Lord has closed her womb. She can't have a baby. And as I ask that of, so I was really like, okay, where are you in the story? You might be saying, well, it's not that I, for me, it's not, the thing that would make me turn away from God is not that I want a baby, it's that I want a spouse. Like, let's back it up one step. I just wish I had a spouse in my life. For you, it might be, well, I just wish, I mean, I'm glad, I'm thankful I have a spouse, and I'm thankful I have children. I just wish God would work in their lives and move them towards himself. And like, if he doesn't, things are going to get more and more desperate. You might be like, well, I'm thankful I have these things, but I don't have a job to pay for them. Like, I need provision. What is it that you could bring to God? Either you're going to bring it to God, you're going to turn to God and bring it to God, face God with it, or you're going to get pushed further and further away from God with it. And it seems like, doesn't it seem like the holidays in general and Christmas in particular exacerbate all of this pain and frustration? And this is not how I wanted life to go-ness. As I mentioned, we're doing a series called Christmas Promises, and we'll see how 1 Samuel chapter 1 looks forward to the Christmas story as we read. Let me open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open this text, I just ask that you'd stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Lord, I ask that you talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, I ask that whatever it is that we need to bring to you, that we would bring it to you. Whoever it is that we need to bring to you, that we would bring it to you, bring them to you. And Lord, I pray that you would remind us that you're there and we can bring it to you. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man of Ramathian Ziphim in the hill country of Ephraim. So if you're looking at a map of the tribes, which you can see on your screen at home, or you can see up there behind me, you can see where Ephraim is. It is north of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem isn't on that map because it hasn't been established yet, because it is still Jebus, a Jebusite city. So we are in verse 1 still. Whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, son of Eliahu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. Okay, so let's just stop and talk about this a second. So some people think that because there are people in the Bible who have two wives, that the Bible is endorsing having two or three or 10 wives. So I should just back up and say, just in general, not just about wives, but just in general, the Bible has prescriptive and descriptive material in it. So descriptive material is describing how God works in history. Prescriptive material is prescribing what we should do. So the Ten Commandments, prescriptive or descriptive? Prescriptive, right? That's telling us what to do. Sermon on the Mount, prescriptive or descriptive? Prescriptive. It's telling us what to do. Genesis 1 and 2, where it says, "And the man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Prescriptive or descriptive? Prescriptive. Now, there are lots of other examples in the Bible of people making terrible decisions and sinning. Are those prescriptive or descriptive? Well, of course, they're descriptive. They're describing how God works in history and how he redeems terrible, horrible, broken things. And by the way, this passage is describing what it's like to have two wives, and I don't think it's very attractive. Turns out one wife is plenty. So he had two wives, and the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. You can see there's going to be a rivalry. This is a really horrible situation. Now, this man used to go up year by year to his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. The text doesn't say which festival this was, but we know this was an annual pilgrimage. So think of, for us, Christmas coming around once a year and Christmas bringing its own set of issues every year. Bringing them up in our hearts, bringing them up in our minds, bringing them up and just kind of making us face them in a way we don't have to face them any other time of the year. Christmas kind of does that for us. This annual trip did this for Hannah. Where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Penina and his wife, and all her sons and daughters. Penina has lots and lots of sons and daughters, which in the ancient world, you probably already know, was a sign of value. She has his kids. What does Hannah have, though? But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. Now, if Hannah has his love, there's something she doesn't have. She doesn't have his kids. Now, you're going to disagree with this next line in the text. But it's in the text, so you're like, but I don't disagree with it because it's in the Bible, but I disagree with it. Ready? Though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her and grievously to irritate her. Provoke her grievously to irritate her. And then, just so we don't miss it, the part we disagree with is in the text again, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on. This sentence or phrase should weigh 100 pounds. So it went on year by year. Every year this comes around, and every year you're faced with it again. Around and around and around every year, year after year, a little worse every year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, now, you got to give Elkanah credit for trying. But oh boy, there's a gap between his effort and the amount of sensitivity that he has. Well, you can see. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Bro, how can you not know? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And Hannah, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, like it feels for all the world like you don't know I'm around and you're forgetting me, and like if you just look at me and remember me, then here's what I'm going to do. But will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And she continued praying before the Lord. And Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. There they are, getting drunk, coming to church, praying. Like, what? All the men in her life are clueless. They really are. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Like, she's in church, praying, doing her best, and she gets misunderstood, even there. Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. So I wanted to save this until like we're into like where I'm telling you like what the text says rather than just reading the text. But I had to put it here because I just want you to feel the urgency of it. Because a lot of us think that we can't pray until we get our stuff together. We think, I'm too mad to pray. Or we think, I'm too worried to pray. Or we think, I'm too frustrated to pray. Once I get my stuff together, then I can go into God's presence. And this commentator points out that anger, sadness, and fear are not obstacles to prayer. Rather, they are the way in to prayer. I think that's dead on. So she says, "Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." So I put this note in the text so I would remember to say it. Is that a promise? Let me just ask, like, so you can see it for yourself first. Like, is that a promise? I don't think it's a promise. I think it's a blessing. I don't think she walks out with an ironclad guarantee. I think she walks out with, "The Lord grant your petition." Like, I hope that works. I hope he answers. It's a blessing, but it's not a promise. And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." In the ESV, there is a footnote that says Samuel sounds like the word for heard of God, like he remembered and he heard. And the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice, like it comes around again, to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, but said to her husband, "As soon as a child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Like, I'm not going to get in the habit of going up there and not repaying my vow. I'm not going to go in the habit of going up there and then bringing him home, because that's a bad habit to start. So I'm not going to go up there again until I can leave him there. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. All right, so as we read through this first chapter of 1 Samuel, and we say Christmas is come around again, and what is it that you could bring to the Lord? Because there's probably stuff in your life that either you're going to turn to the Lord and bring it to the Lord, or you're going to be driven away from the Lord by it. What is it that you could bring to the Lord? So in order to bring stuff to the Lord, you have to be able to trust the Lord, so you should know something about the Lord's character. So let's start with, what do we learn about the Lord in this first chapter of 1 Samuel? Well, number one, what I think we can learn about the Lord here is that the Lord hears. So why turn to the Lord? Well, because the Lord hears. Why not just keep going away from the Lord like another man that doesn't listen or is completely insensitive? Why not just keep moving away? Because the Lord hears. He hears. Desperate, angry, frustrated prayers. He hears. Sad, broken-hearted prayers. He hears. He hears. This is one of the passages that's in the background of the beginning of the Christmas story in Luke. So in Luke chapter 1, there's an old priest that is praying in the temple. And he's praying and praying, and traditionally or typically he would be praying for the forgiveness of Israel's sins. But an angel shows up as he's praying, and it's the text says, like, he's startled. You know, like, I imagine he was. Like, the place is filled with smoke, with the incense burning that he's offering. He's praying. He opens his eyes, and there is a heavenly being that stands at the right hand of God, and he looks up, and he's like, ah! You know, like, shocked. And the angel says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. And Zechariah hears this and thinks about it for a little bit and says, are you sure? And the angel says, well, of course I'm sure. I stand at the right hand of God. Now, to help you not say anything else dumb, you're going to stop speaking until the child is born, and you're going to name him John. Hey, the Lord hears, like, Hannah's prayers, desperate, crying, like, he hears frustrated prayers. He also hears old, forgotten, faithless prayers, like Zechariah's. He hears prayers. What I'm saying is, if you feel like I can't turn to God, I can't bring it to God because I don't have the faith or I don't have the stuff to pray yet, you're thinking wrong, because the Lord hears prayers. He hears them. So pray them. The Lord hears. That's the first truth about God that I want you to know that will help you turn to God. He hears prayers. Second is that he reigns. He reigns. There's that passage, that's there twice. So once in verse 5, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And then verse 6, and her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It's there twice how the Lord had closed her womb. Man, the Lord reigns over all of it. So when you're like, I hate this and I'm going to turn away from the Lord, by not turning to the Lord, you're not turning to the one who's in charge. Like, it's really nice when you're trying to solve a problem or talk about something or get something done to talk to the actual decision maker, to talk to the person that can actually fix your problem, that can actually change things, that can actually move the ball up the field, to actually go to the source of the power. And if you're not turning to the Lord, if you're turning to something else or turning away from the Lord, you're turning away from the one who ultimately makes the decisions. Again, I mentioned that this passage is underneath or behind, in tune with Luke chapter 1. And so you have Elizabeth, whose womb had been closed for a long time, and Zechariah gets word that she's going to become pregnant. But that's not the only one. There's also Mary, remember, in Luke chapter 1? And she should not be having babies because she's like, I am not in, there's no way, it is impossible for me to be having a baby. And we read, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Lord reigns. He can do what he wants. He does what he wants. He can open wombs or he can close wombs. The Lord reigns. So when you go to him, you're going to the one who can make the decisions, who can change, who can move. You're going to the power source. So go to him because he hears. Go to him because he reigns. And third, go to him. Well, let's come back to the story here. So remember, Hannah brings Samuel, but she doesn't just bring Samuel. She brings, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull and an ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. Hey, what'd they do with the bull? You know, what you do with bulls at the house of the Lord, you sacrifice them, and they slaughter the bull as they brought the child to Eli. So she brings her long-awaited child to the Lord, and she brings a bull to the house of the Lord, and they sacrifice the bull. It reminds us, it points forward to how God's one and only Son went up to the house of the Lord and became the sacrifice for us, taking our place, dying in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. So if you have the epicenter of man-powered worship up here in the temple, you have an ugly little hill called Golgotha down here, where Jesus is sacrificed, offers himself up for your sin and for mine, becoming the bull, fulfilling the role of the son in the narrative. The thing you have to say is, I know he hears, I wish he heard sooner. You know, maybe you'd say, like, I know he reigns, I wish he'd reign how I wanted him to reign, I wish he'd do what I want him to do. But you can't say, as much as you might say that, you can't say that he doesn't care. He came himself in the person of Jesus and died in our place. You can't say that he doesn't care. You can say you disagree with what he does. You can say you don't like what he does. You can say you don't understand what he does. But you can't say that he doesn't care. He cares. So turn to him. Bring it to him. Because he hears, because he reigns, because he cares. So here's what we've said. We said the Lord hears, the Lord reigns, and the Lord cares. So what should we do? Well, kind of what I've been trying to say all morning is typically the holidays bring up stuff that's really frustrating, really painful, makes us mad or makes us sad. They bring up stuff we wish wasn't brought up. And it forces us to face stuff we don't want to face. Here's what you do. You turn to the Lord and you bring it to him. You offer it to him and you get as close to him as you can and you say, God, here's what I've got. And you offer it to him. So bring it or bring them to him. And you can't bring it to him without turning to him and offering it to him. I tried to put what one of the commentators wrote in my own words, and so this is me taking my best shot at like putting this in my own words. Hannah went into God's presence to face her deepest disappointment and greatest pain. So she didn't face her deepest disappointment and her greatest pain on her own moving away from God. She brought her deepest disappointment and greatest pain to God and faced it there in God's house with God. She poured out her soul and she made God an offer. Like, you give me this, I'll give him back. Then she left God's house with a measure of peace, knowing that she had done all she could. She had a blessing, not a promise. She had a word from a priest of like, may the Lord bless you and may he cause his face to shine upon you. May he answer your prayers. Not an ironclad guarantee. But she left with a measure of peace, knowing she had prayed her best prayers, knowing she had offered God everything she could, and she left it with God. You could do that. Whatever it is that you've got that you can't give to God, that you won't give to God, that you're frustrated and mad about, that you don't want to face, you could bring it to God. You could say, God, here's, though you cry and rage and be frustrated and it brings up all the emotion that you don't want brought up, you could bring it to him. In fact, Peter tells us this is a good idea. He says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So, what could you bring to God this Christmas? Believing that the Christmas promises are true. That he hears, that he reigns, that he cares. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you hear, that you reign, and that you care. And Lord, I just pray that for those that this hits really close to home, that you, with supernatural power, would pull them close to yourself and let them cry on your shoulder. That you, with supernatural power, would wrap your arms around them and let them know that you are there. That you care, that you're here, that you're in charge, and that you are dying on the cross good. Lord, receive our worship and our praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.